And now to migration trends and Wisconsin's declining birth rate. The 2020 census put Wisconsin's population growth at 3.6% over the decade. So why is our state growing slowly? Why is that problematic? What do you see? How has your community's population changed? And if you moved to Wisconsin in recent years, what brought you here? Join in 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp is Director of Research and Analytics for the Wisconsin Counties Association and Director of the Research Organization Forward Analytics. Dale, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be back on public radio in the morning.
Good morning. So the smallest 10-year increase in population in our state's history, what forces are contributing to the stagnant population growth?
Well, it's really a combination of a couple of forces. One is migration. We've known this for a while that really since the mid-2000s, we've been struggling in terms of net migration. And if you look over the decade, we had about 54,000 people on net moving to the state, but that's down from about 80,000 between 2000, 2010, and over 220,000 during the 1990s. So that's part of it. The second part is something, again, that we've written about quite a bit, and that's the declining number of births. Since 2007, the number of births in Wisconsin has declined in every year but one. And if you look at the number of births in 2020, they were at the lowest they've been since 1942. So, you know, that is the other factor that's driving that. And that's driving a second trend that's really problematic long-term for us, in that our youth population, the under 18 population, was down 4.3% over the decade.
I want to get at that migration issue. It sounds like what you're saying, every inbound matters, every outbound matters a lot too. In looking at our country's move rate record lows in 2020, the Census Bureau's current population survey says only 8% of Americans moved from one U.S. home to another between March 2020 and March 2021. So if we're at the lowest domestic migration pace since the government started tracking this data, you know, decades ago, 70 some years ago, then what does that say? What are the implications of that really low rate of migration?
Well, when you look at, I mean, for Wisconsin, it's really troubling because, again, when you look at right now, when you look at our young population, the under 18 population, compared to the number of people that are expected to retire over the next 15 to 20 years, we're about 10 to 15% short. So when you look at our demographics right now, we're looking at, without migration, we're looking at a stagnant or possibly declining workforce over the next 10 or 15 years. So that's why migration is so important for Wisconsin over the next decade or so. And so, you know, in the face of overall declines in movement, that's going to be a challenge. But we have to figure out a way to really get out the word that Wisconsin is really a good place to live, work, play, great education, et cetera. So migration is just going to be so critical for us over the next decade.
What are those implications to the workforce? We're seeing huge labor force challenges, an extremely tight labor market, help wanted signs everywhere still. So what are the population implications at the intersection of this workforce shortage?
Well, sort of there's really two sides to it. One is on the employer side. We're just going to continue to see this struggle to find workers. And so growing a business is going to be challenging. Starting a new business in which you need employees is going to be a challenge. And so on that side, it's just going to be a struggle. And at this point, really, there's no light at the end of the tunnel that we can see. On the other side of it, it's going to be good for workers, because that that workforce shortage is tending to push up wages, particularly at the bottom end of the wage scale. We did a report a couple of years ago, and we saw this, you know, even prior to the pandemic, that with a tightening workforce, we were seeing wages at the lower end of the pay scale moving up significantly. You know, it's sort of everybody that, you know, everybody's sort of expanding their pool of workers that they're willing to look at because of the workforce shortage, and that's pushing up wages at the bottom end. So for the work on the worker side, you know, it's going to be a good something that's good for them.
So this net migration, we're not in this alone. States like Illinois and Michigan are also facing these issues. What does it look like for our neighbors? How do we compare?
Well, Illinois is a special case because Illinois, one of the things we've seen over the past, about the past decade is with all of the fiscal challenges that are going on in Illinois, we've really seen a lot of people leaving that state. They were the second largest in terms of net migration out. And so I think we don't have the numbers yet in terms of exactly where they're going. But it looks like Wisconsin was probably, you know, benefiting from that. You look at you know, Iowa is very similar to us. They've got some of the similar demographic challenges. And Minnesota, you know, Minnesota is a little bit unique in that, you know, about two-thirds of their economy is the Minneapolis area.
Twin Cities.
Which has been very attractive. And so they're doing a little bit better in terms of overall net migration. That said, we're about even with them in terms of movement back and forth between the two states. So we have about as many people leaving Wisconsin to go to Minnesota as those coming from Minnesota to Wisconsin.
We're talking about a new study called Slowing Down Wisconsin's Waning Population Growth, led by Dale Knapp. He's director of Forward Analytics. That's a research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Where do you think Wisconsin's economy is headed? Are you thinking of retiring? Are you just getting into the workforce? Where does the labor shortage rank among your list of concerns? Do you want Wisconsin to go after remote workers with incentives to move here? What would that look like? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Dale Knapp here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing what to make of Wisconsin population trends here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A noteworthy side note to this conversation, United Van Lines has been tracking migration patterns since the late 70s. It published its annual National Mover Study this week, showing how Americans were on the move in 2021. Wisconsin's total inbound, they said, was 48%, total outbound 52%. Our neighbor Illinois, as we've been talking about by comparison, is ranked among the states with the largest exodus, with 67% outbound by United Van Lines data. Where are you moving to and why? How is your community adjusting to population changes? What are the pain points? 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp, Director of Forward Analytics, is with us. So, Dale, you know, United Van Lines, merely a snapshot. I get it. One indicator of migration patterns. But I find it interesting to look at where people are going with their moving truck. What do you think of this kind of indicator?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that are going on. You know, one is when you look at the census numbers, the pattern has been people are moving south and west. That, you know, nationally, that's what's going on. But there's another thing, especially in 2020 and now again in 2021, that I think is going on that we kind of forget about, is that with remote work, there are a lot of companies that have made remote work permanent. And so people are able to move in some cases wherever they want and work remotely. And so that's kind of changing. I think that's going to change the pattern of movement to some degree. And I think Wisconsin can benefit from that, you know, attracting remote workers. There are a lot of people that enjoy what Wisconsin has to offer, but because of pay, because of whatever it is, they're working in another state. The remote work option allows Wisconsin to attract workers. Now, the remote workers aren't going to help us with our workforce, but if they're bringing family members, if they're bringing a spouse, that's going to help us. If they're bringing children,
there's a ripple effect
in the long term. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that remote work world, there is that census data that shows the population of 9 rural northern counties grew 6.7% as a group. What might be going on there?
That was one of the big question marks we had when we were looking at the county data. You're talking about 9 counties up north. Now, these counties in terms of housing stock, they have the most vacation homes relative to total housing stock, you know, in the state. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of vacation homes. So there's a couple of things that can be going on. One is that some people were working remote up there at their vacation homes.
Mm-hmm.
And because the response to the census was extended a couple of times, they may have filled out the census form at that residence and listed it as their permanent residence. We don't know. The other more likely thing that's going on is that retirees are moving north permanently or semi-permanently to those counties. We really won't have a good handle on that until the detailed age numbers come out from the census. We'll be able to then really get a better sense of what's going on. But it looks like it's retirees. That's sort of my best guess, which, you know, the population growth, it looks superficially that it's going to be good for these counties. But if they're retirees, it doesn't help them with their workforce problem.
Sam from Menominee called in, couldn't stay with us. And Sam is getting into some really great nuance here. I would like some clarification, Dale, on the declining birth rates. Is it that fewer parents are having children, or is it that we have an older population and there are less people of child-rearing age?
It's a combination.
Okay.
You know, if you look over the longer term, we actually have we've had a decline in the number of women in their childbearing years. So that's part of it. The second part of it is that young people are having, at least at this point, are having fewer children. Now, the research shows that when you ask younger women, how many children are you planning to have? Are you thinking about having over you know, over your childbearing years, that hasn't changed that much. It's still in the roughly the 2 to 3 children range. But in actuality, so far, they're having fewer children. Now, some of this is we're seeing, you know, more children being born to those 30 to 34 and really 35 to 39. So there's some of this which is pushing having children off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that's going on there. So again, because the surveys show that their desire kind of is to have more children, that ultimately we may not see as much of a decline, but you know, most demographers were predicting that these birth rates were going to turn up, you know, 6-7 years ago, and they haven't, and that's troubling.
Dale Knapp with us, Director of Research and Analytics for the Wisconsin Counties Association. Let's take a call. Chris in Spring Green. Hi, Chris. Go ahead. What's on your mind about population?
I would like to ask about immigration from other countries. We need population here in Wisconsin for our labor force. And I've been to South America a few different times, and there are very good people down there. They're hardworking, and all they want is a chance. I would think that our government would want to encourage people to come here from Central and South America.
Chris, thank you. Dale Knapp, what about immigration from Central America and refugees from Afghanistan?
Well, you know, we can talk about the international migration sort of in general, because I don't think it's just South America. It's really everywhere. You know, the workforce shortage is a national problem, and we're finally really starting to see some people really talking about the fact that we really need international migration to solve our national demographic problem. And when you look at Wisconsin, you know, in terms of net migration, what's kept us positive really has been international migration. So that's one thing that has been helping us. But again, obviously the numbers show it's not nearly enough. Mm. The problem is obviously that immigration has become such a hot button issue that it's hard for me right now to envision any progress
on that
expanding
front
for mm-hmm. immigration nationally. That's one of the big issues.
Let's just try to squeeze in one more question here from Gary and Ripon. Gary, short on time, go ahead.
Does the guest think that it's possible for there to be enough people in the world?
Will there ever be enough people here in Wisconsin, the world, Dale?
Well, I guess that's a hard question to answer. I'm not sure what enough is. You know, I think what Wisconsin has to think about seriously is, at this point, you know, we've been living in a world with a growing population, and we've accustomed to that. We have to really think of a heart about what's it going to be like with a stagnant or declining population, and how do we adapt to that? Because everything right now points to that challenge. And, you know, maybe we have to look to Japan, who's been experiencing, you know, some of these demographic problems for decades, and see what works. But we're going to have to seriously look at what our state's going to look like in 10 years and figure out how we're going to adapt to that. Because I think that's by all indications, that's where we're headed.
Dale, thank you for joining us.
I was glad to be here this morning, Kate.
Dale Knapp, Director of Research and Analytics for the Wisconsin Counties Association. We have a link, by the way, to the Forward Analytics report called Slowing Down. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're with us on the Ideas Network.